Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Monday, January the 11th, 2021, 15 minutes past the hour. Do want to give you a little bit of do a little bit of housekeeping here on the rest of the week. Coming up on Wednesday, there is a lot of discussion about the COVID-19 vaccine, and Wednesday morning from 9:10 until 10 a.m., we will be joined by legendary author and medical expert on the Today Show for so many years, Dr. Art Uihlein, who is going to discuss the COVID vaccine with us, as well as the cases of COVID-19 continuing to go up in this country and the new strain that is now here that originated in the United Kingdom. So Dr. Art Uihlein on Wednesday, 9:10 a.m. until 10 a.m. Tomorrow morning on this show, live in studio, first time this year and first time since the mess that happened at the Capitol last week, Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States, under President Bill Clinton, will be live in studio with us tomorrow morning, giving her thoughts on what happened last Wednesday. And who knows what'll happen between today and tomorrow that we will talk with Mary Ellen live tomorrow about. Also, when Mary Ellen is on tomorrow, we will hear about her conversations with two active Congress people who she has talked to since the riots. So that's live tomorrow morning, 8:10 until 10 a.m. Now, joining me here this morning is a person who has been on this program before. We always have a lot of fun, but you probably have heard his voice most often every Wednesday on this station from 12:10 until 1 p.m. on A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble. He is Glenn's guest most every week during that time slot. He is an author, political historian, and a good friend of this station, Dr. Ron Fineman. Dr. Fineman, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing good. Good to talk with you. Certainly not a lack of things to talk about with everything that went on last week.
You're correct. It's been a devastating few days. It really has.
Well, let's go back to last Wednesday and something that did not get a lot of coverage because of what happened in Washington. The Senate will now be Democratic because of the two races in Georgia. Georgia, typically a Republican state. What do you think happened in Georgia that allowed two Democratic senators in a runoff election to get elected?
I think Stacey Abrams probably had more effect on that than anyone else. But also, Georgia is changing. A lot more people from the north are moving south, and the mix of population is changing rapidly, and I think it's a sign of what's coming in North Carolina and eventually in Texas as well.
Well, one of the things I kept hearing last week was no matter how good these senators do, these two senators who were just elected in Georgia, that most likely they will not be reelected because Georgia does tend to the Republican side. And also, this was a strange runoff election because it all came down to a stimulus check in a lot of people's minds. Congress wanted $2,000. Then President Trump came out and said, yes, I think $2,000 is right. And the Republican Senate at the time said, no, $600. So Joe Biden went down there in the last few days of that election and said, you elect these two, and we're going to get you your $2,000.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I do think the trend is changing in the South, in some of the states, not all of them, but I think Georgia, North Carolina, and Texas, I unfortunately cannot say Florida, where I live, doesn't look that way because of the population of Cubans who get easily manipulated with the word socialism as if Joe Biden was Castro. So that, I think, affected. It's going to take a long time to change Florida. But I do think that there's a very good chance, of course, no guarantees, that the, both these people, or at least one of them, I think more likely with Ossoff, he doesn't have to run for 6 years, so it's very hard to figure out 6 years from now. But I do think 2022 for, indeed, for the Reverend is going to be more of a problem, but it's still something to rejoice that, imagine, Georgia elected a Jewish senator and an African-American senator connected to the Ebenezer Baptist Church of Martin Luther King Jr. And I think it's also a tribute to John Lewis, the former congressman who passed away last year. But obviously there are no guarantees of the future, but I think if they do a good job, there's a good chance they can both win. But one has 6 years, one has 2 years.
Do you think, though, that, let's say in Arizona, which typically was Republican, now you have a Democratic senator there.
Both of them, yes.
Yeah, that may stay. That may hold out, because Arizona has changed a lot more than Georgia.
Well, I think it's ahead of as far as Georgia, but I think Georgia is changing and it's not going to go back. And again, if you look back 30 years, actually the South until the 1970s was Democratic. So it's not necessarily a guarantee that every Southern state has to remain Republican all the time. And I don't think that Donald Trump is going to help promote the Republican Party in the future in the South. I think it's going to transform the South, what's just happened.
Something that's interesting, of course, Georgia, this time it looked as if went Democratic. Arizona, the same thing. But Florida and Ohio, which used to be considered swing states,
yes,
went very Republican.
Yes, they did. And Florida, I think it's primarily because of the Cuban population, the one Hispanic group that is generally not Democratic and easily is manipulated on the fact of Fidel Castro as if he's still around. It's a very different world now. Ohio, I don't understand really what's going on, because Ohio always was almost always with the winner of the election, and this time they were not. So I don't know. I'd still like to believe it's not a permanent long-term situation, but it's hard to judge. We'll have to see what happens in the next 2 to 4 years.
You know, whether you consider it the Midwest or the East, it is kind of interesting, because we talk about the South a lot being Republican and seeing these states pop up as Democrat now, like Georgia. We talk a lot about that, but when you look at the Midwest, Indiana is strong Republican,
yes.
West Virginia, Kentucky, Ohio right now looks very strong Republican in the last two presidential elections and the elections in between. We have a Republican governor here and a very Republican legislature. And Pennsylvania is not being won by large margins by the Democrats anymore.
No, it's a constantly transforming situation, and that's why both parties have to work to promote their ideas. But right now, I don't think the Republican Party looks very good after what's gone on for the last 4 years. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. You know, that's what makes following politics, writing about it, speaking about it so much fun, that it's very unpredictable.
Well, this is one of the things that last week, I think, well, we'll just walk through this. The episode that happened at the Capitol, where people were able to break in, were able to breach the security, happened. Now, when everybody came back that night, the senators and the Congress people, you heard some speeches from, well, a matter of fact, a couple of the speeches you heard before the break-in, but Mitch McConnell said the election wasn't even close. Mike Pence had already said, I'm going to do what the Constitution says, not what anybody else wants me to do. Lindsey Graham, after the mess, said, I'm done, count me out of this, I'm not going to go with this anymore. Mitt Romney, who's never really been a part of it, continued to say, we're just messing around with a bruised ego here after losing the election.
He's correct.
Right,
yeah.
But a lot of Republicans, when we say Republicans, I think, is it Republicans last week? I didn't hear any Republicans say that that was a good thing that happened, or is that Trump? Is there a separation now?
I think a lot of people are trying to escape their guilt for being involved in promoting the fakery for the last 2 months, plus backing a lot of the horrible things that Trump spoke for and did. So I think they're trying to save their own rear ends. But a few of them are really courageous. I think Mitt Romney has to be given a lot of credit. I would not give the same credit to McConnell or Graham.
Now, it looks like we are headed toward an impeachment here, but the 25th Amendment is still on the table, so says Nancy Pelosi last night on 60 Minutes. And we learned this morning, it's being reported by USA Today as of 9:02 a.m., that Pelosi is giving Mike Pence 24 hours to remove Trump from office. Now, what's interesting about this is Mike Pence has not responded. Normally, you would think you would hear a no. I'm not going to do this. Why do you believe he hasn't responded?
I think he's trying to figure out if he can get a majority of the cabinet, with, of course, some of them having resigned, to agree to, you know, to move in that direction. But I must say, isn't it amazing that Trump has not been in contact with Pence since Wednesday at all, and that basically what his speaking was promoting what became, as I just wrote this morning on my Progressive Professor, advocating the assassination of Mike Pence and Nancy Pelosi. People were saying, let's hang Mike Pence, and they had a noose outside the Capitol building, and he has not spoken up since, or spoken to Pence at all. And, you know, I honestly, if you look back, Mrs. Pence, I'm not necessarily a fan of her or Mike Pence, but Mrs. Pence, after they won in 2016, I've read that she said good luck to her husband because she does not like Trump because of his misogyny and the tapes that were revealed in the fall of 2016. So she was not a happy camper that he was even working for the president. So I think a lot of it is that there's really bad blood, and I think he has really broken his ties, Trump, with Pence. And, I mean, it's just unbelievable. He was gleeful. He was excited when he saw the mob going toward the Capitol, our president. I mean, this man needs to be removed yesterday. And I hope Pence will move in that direction.
Do you think we're going to hear from him, yes or no, whatever his answer might be?
Mike Pence, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I think he'll have to respond in 24 hours in some form by tomorrow. I think he will, and I think he needs to. And, you know, maybe it can't be accomplished, but he needs to come out and actually condemn the president, not just be silent. And the impeachment can start. It can always go on for months later for the trial. But he can certainly, the president, be impeached and then denied the possibility of running again for public office.
Now, this is an interesting thing. Where we stand now, it looks as if articles of impeachment could be introduced to the floor. I don't know if it is going to take place today now, considering Nancy Pelosi is giving Mike Pence 24 hours.
It'll be by Wednesday.
But the vote could happen very quickly. As a matter of fact, they would want it to happen very quickly. But that would just be an impeachment, and we would still have to have the trial in the Senate. And Mitch McConnell said the earliest that trial could start would be the 19th.
Actually, this discussion of holding the trial off to maybe May, so that Joe Biden gets 100 days to do what he needs to do. They could always have an impeachment trial delayed. But the fact is that, you know, the impeachment could not be, the conviction or the chance of conviction, if it even became possible, would not happen until after the new president comes in.
Right, there is talk of...
McConnell allowed it, you know, like let's say on Saturday, it still wouldn't be done in time, no.
No, it wouldn't be done, but he said the earliest it could start would be January 19th, which
because
would be...
Because he doesn't want to call the Senate back into session. He's not exactly showing that he really understands what the issue's all about, but I don't think it matters that much. The main thing is, if he's impeached a second time and denied the chance to run for office and then prosecuted by the Justice Department for the crimes he's been involved in this event, and also his son and Rudy Giuliani and others, that can have a better effect. But as far as it's being actually out of office before a week from Wednesday, I don't know if that's going to be possible, but already Pelosi has spoken to Mark Milley of the military to make sure, apparently, that there's no chance that the president can use nuclear weapons or start a war, that he will be disobeyed. And it's a delicate time we're in now. There's no question about it.
Right, but a lot of people are confused by this. Now the impeachment articles, which would include a caveat that President Trump would not be able to run for public office ever again. Now, this has to... there has to be a conviction in the Senate for that to hold up. The impeachment would not make that happen.
I'm not sure on that. I'm not sure. You might be right, but I'm not a lawyer, so, and this is such an unusual situation. I'm not sure that they couldn't separately pass a law that says he cannot run for public office outside the impeachment. I think they could. Of course, they'd have to have Republican cooperation. But it'd be pretty hard to imagine that we would have, more than that, a whole third of the Senate or more trying to still allow him to run. I think most of them don't want to come near him again.
You know, I don't know how many people watched the 60 Minutes interview with Nancy Pelosi last night, but one thing I found interesting in it was Leslie Stahl, who did a great interview, and people can watch it on YouTube, so it's not like you can't find it.
Yes.
But when she asked Nancy Pelosi about Trump pardoning these people last week who broke into the Capitol and pardoning himself, she did not say that he can't do that. A matter of fact, she said he can only pardon himself of federal crimes, not the state crimes. And in New York, they're really going after him for the state crimes. So I thought it was very interesting. She did not say no that he couldn't pardon himself. And she also did not say no that he couldn't pardon these people who broke into the Capitol last week.
I think she probably doesn't really know what the legal ramifications are. I don't really know it either. Again, I'm not an attorney. So I would hope not. But I also think if he was to pardon himself, I think that would be contested in the courts after, and the Supreme Court may overrule it. But it's all may, we don't know. Also, the issue that he would resign and have Mike Pence pardon him, I don't think there's a chance in the world that Mike Pence would now pardon him if he came into office. I can't imagine that. I think his wife would divorce if he did that. I just don't see it after the threat against his life and his lack of concern our president for his own vice president.
Let's go back to the issue last Wednesday. What happened? Because we've got a little air between it now and when it happened. And it's an interesting thing because a lot of it's going to come down to the speech that President Trump gave that day at the rally.
Yes.
Because the question is going to be, did he tell these people to go do what they did? And word for word, he did not. He did not say go break into the Capitol. So is what he said, do you think that's what he thought they would do, break in? And clearly the people at the Capitol didn't think that because people have resigned. The sergeant-at-arms has resigned.
Yes.
It didn't seem like they thought that was going to happen.
I think in the back of his, you know, it's hard to say from his rhetoric, but I think he was hoping for Pelosi to be killed and also Pence because he was not cooperating on trying to change the rules about how to count the electoral vote. But of course, that's only in his mind. But I do think Donald Jr. was incendiary where he could be prosecuted, and Giuliani, former Mayor Giuliani, really was. So I think they definitely would be in danger. But I still think the president should be held accountable for it in a court of law.
Do you think that he would... I can't imagine that anybody, including the president, would want his own vice president and the Speaker of the House killed. I just can't. He doesn't agree with them at this point. I certainly understand that. But I can't imagine he would want them killed.
Well, you know, he didn't say that, but I think he's got a demented mind. I really think he does. I think he's been a dangerous man since 2015, advocating violence, you know, many times in many of his speeches, and telling people to pay their bail and all that. And I think that, you know, he doesn't directly say that, but I think he's got a diseased mind, and he really is out of control, and he is a danger, and has been a danger all along, and has done a lot of illegal, unconstitutional things.
Well, the interesting thing is, like I say, it will all come down to that speech. What did he say, and what did he advocate, and did he advocate for what they did? And one of the problems is we don't know, because interpretation's everything. He has spoken to rallies like that before and said very similar stuff, and that didn't happen. Why? And regardless of, even if he did call for that to happen, which we're not sure that he did, why did they do it? What was the goal of those people?
I think they're extremists. They're QAnon conspiracy theorists, and the other right-wing fascist-type forces that just want to overthrow and stop the changing of America. Remember, this is an issue of the future of America. The country's becoming less white, having more and more minorities. It's going to be a minority by 2045. And there are those white supremacists, the kind of people you call good people at Charlottesville, Virginia, who were saying anti-Semitic and racist statements. And that's why I don't understand why Jews, any Jews, back him when he has anti-Semitic people behind him, our president. But I think that, you know, that it's really an issue of trying to prevent the future of the country becoming more diverse and eventually not to have a white majority of the population.
But
they're trying to change it by violence and bloodshed.
But why would breaking into the Capitol overthrow the government? How would that happen?
I'm not sure what you're saying exactly.
Well, I say if their goal thinking was they were going to overthrow the government and keep President Trump in, and that's why they broke into the Capitol and did what they did, how does that happen? I mean, why would breaking into the Capitol overthrow the government?
Well, because the argument would be that they would be getting rid of the House and Senate leadership and the vice president, and kill a lot of congressmen and senators. And what I heard last night on that interview with Nancy Pelosi, and also from other information about how many people, you know, if it had not been for that one, that one D.C. Capitol police officer who diverted people from going to the Senate chamber, oh, my God. I mean, you know, there's so many heroes here. And yet there's also people who were apparently police that were doing selfies with some of these demonstrators, so that's something that's very troubling. But I think they thought somehow crazily that they could transform the government by killing people. And, of course, they're obviously sick minds and very dangerous people, and there's a good element of people like that that show up on the Internet and conspire, and it's very scary and terrifying.
Do you think that during President Trump's presidency, it seemed like any time he did something that somebody did not like, or he said something that somebody did not like, it was called an atrocity. It was awful. Well, I think we may have seen the real atrocity last week, but people, you know, everybody had called everything an atrocity for so long. When the real atrocity happens, it seems minor because this has been going on for 4 years.
Well, it's been overlooked by a lot of people, including those who chose to vote for him a second time. It's one thing if you voted for him the first time. I can understand you want to change. But for people, including people I know, friends and others who voted for him, and their excuses that I wrote about today on my blog, I said the excuses, let me just get to that. I want to just read some of this. Excuses such as that they are afraid of Kamala Harris because she's a mixed-race woman. Some people have actually told me that. Because the stock market's doing well, so they don't care about anything else, or because he's pro-Israel, which I would argue is not as pro-Israel as people think, but in some small ways he is, or they believe that Joe Biden is demented, or they believe out of ignorance or stupidity that Democrats who are liberal and progressive are actually communists and socialists, or they think that Trump's vicious attacks on women, minorities, the disabled, other groups are funny and humorous, or because they like that Trump says what is on his mind no matter how outrageous it is. So, I mean, I know people, I can't believe that they could have voted for him after what has happened the last 4 years, even if they did vote for him the first time.
You know, do you think that there is any credence given to the fact that, we have to look at this, Donald Trump was elected president in 2016 by the Electoral College. Donald Trump outperformed in the last election what all the polls felt he would do. And there is, even after this thing at the Capitol, there is a great following that he has. You just have to turn on social media and look at it. And I think you exemplified it there when you read reasons that people want to stay behind him and still stay behind him at this point. Why is that continually missed by the Democratic Party? That when he's continually attacked, that people just like him more. It's their guy.
Well, because a lot of people, I think the kind of things he says, and they don't have the power or ability to express it where we all hear it, so they find a bully, which is what he is, and a good percentage of people like a bully. I don't know why, but they do, and I'm amazed at not only how many people do, but also how many women, after all the misogyny he's been involved in, still back him. That, I think, blows my mind more than the men. Why would they back a man like this? Is this the kind of guy they want as their brother, or their father, or their husband, or their boyfriend? And yet, I don't know how to figure it out, but I think, honestly, there's a lot of mental illness that's become very evident, and now even more in the middle of the pandemic. And we have a lot of mentally ill people that are really a scary, terrifying group that can commit violence at any time, and you don't even know who's who.
You know, the interesting thing that I hear from a lot of people, certainly here in Ohio, and we sit in Congressman Jordan's district, is that whatever Bill Clinton... Well, we know what Bill Clinton did to a certain extent. We know what he did with Monica Lewinsky that got him impeached,
yes,
lying about that. But we also know about Jennifer Flowers, and we knew it from the beginning. We knew about Paula Jones. We knew about Juanita Broderick. We knew about all these things that had happened over a number of years. Now, I don't remember whether people supported him or not, I don't think at that time you could call Bill Clinton a moral man. And
no, the absolutely not. I've always been critical of him.
But also the people who supported him, we didn't call them mentally ill. And I think that's the difference. I think that people go after the Trump voter, and that's not going to endear them. And
no, of course not.
Yeah, right. And I'm not sure why that is done. I've never heard that done before. People went after George W. Bush very heavy after the Iraq War. People went after Bill Clinton after the impeachment. But I never heard people go after the voters until President Trump. His voters are insane.
I think it's partly because with all the shortcomings and faults of Clinton and George W. Bush, they were still decent human beings in their rhetoric and in the way they conducted themselves in public. They had their faults. And absolutely, I think both of them did. But they didn't act and behave like Trump has done his whole life.
But isn't his behavior why people like him?
As I pointed out, yes. But I'm thinking, why would you want to know somebody like that who's a bully and is so prejudiced and biased? I guess it shows a lot of people, including people I know, you know, here and elsewhere, I thought I knew who they were, and I'm very disillusioned, and I realize I don't need friends like this. And I've already broken off with some of these so-called friends in locally and elsewhere because I just can't tolerate people that are so biased. It drives me crazy.
but I don't want to lay this all on the Democrats either. Why are we at a place now where Democrats and Republicans cannot get together on anything? It took them from April until January to even get a stimulus bill passed in a pandemic.
Yes, well, you know, that actually has been traced back to the 1990s when indeed Newt Gingrich became Speaker of the House, the so-called Republican Revolution. And that's when that's really when it all, actually, it's the second step. The first step, I guess, would go back to the battles over Supreme Court nominees under Reagan and then under George H.W. Bush, particularly, of course, Clarence Thomas. And I think it showed the beginning of inability to cross the aisle and understand and work with the other side. But Newt Gingrich really declared war on the Democratic Party in 1994, and then the Tea Party movement began in 2010. So it's become such a thing that both sides are at each other's throats, which is not good.
Well, I thought it was interesting, and again, I just want to refer back to this interview because it was last night with Pelosi and Leslie Stahl, and I thought Leslie Stahl did a great job.
She's great, yes.
Because Leslie Stahl said to Pelosi, you know, you're calling the Republicans obstructionist on this pandemic bill, but you obstructed too. You didn't bend, and Pelosi kept saying, well, it's not the same thing, and Leslie Stahl said, yes, it is. You would not vote. You would not bend. You would not compromise, and that's true.
Yes, so both sides are to blame. There's no question about it. It's become where neither side is willing to cross the aisle. I'm hopeful that Joe Biden, with his past of crossing the aisle when he was a senator and then as vice president, working with John McCain, working with with McConnell, working with other Republicans, that we could get somewhat more cooperation within the limits of an election coming up midterm. So, but I would hope so. I think he's certainly a better situation to do that than almost any other Democratic possible presidential candidate could have been.
If Mike Pence does not invoke the 25th Amendment, could this impeachment backfire in a way that the last one did, that it takes what happened last week and makes it more about the impeachment, and people say, why'd you do that? It's pointless. He's leaving in 9 days anyway, and backfires on the Democrats.
Well, it's a tough issue. It's something I've been tormented by over the weekend. What's the right approach? I just wish he would resign, like Richard Nixon did, but he's not going to do it, our president. So it's going to be a problem politically in the future, and who knows how it'll work itself out. I just pray it doesn't make more divisiveness in the future, but very possibly it could. You know, I can't project the future. Who can?
Well, it's very interesting here because they haven't disagreed publicly, but clearly Pelosi wants to do this, and pretty clearly he hasn't said it, but Joe Biden does not. I do not think he wants him impeached. I do not think he wants that to be the big story as he's coming into office. And as you said earlier, a lot of the people in the Senate are saying, well, let's put this whole trial off 100 days if the impeachment does happen, so Joe Biden can have his first 100 days and try to get the legislation through he wants, and that be the big story. I don't think Joe Biden wants Donald Trump charged at this point. Do you?
I think he wants to just have attention paid less to Trump and more to what's coming in the future. I would agree on that, yes.
So why are he and Pelosi not together on this? What's the burr under her saddle? I mean, I understand last week was a rough week for her, but we're talking 9 days. She's already talked to the Joint Chiefs. Trump did concede last week. That got lost in all the hubbub, but he did concede. 9 days.
Well, I think because she's just concerned that he might do something reckless, and hopefully that's not going to happen over the next 9 days. Well, I mean, she's a partisan on her own. I mean, she always has been. I mean, it's not like she's a perfect person. But, I mean, you know, when you come down to it, the fact that her office was ransacked and indeed someone sat at a desk with his feet up, and the fact that there were people looking for her to try to kill her, there was somebody who said something, he wants to put a bullet in her head. I mean, how do you get over that quickly? You don't. So it's a direct threat. And I think Pence still is like feeling like he's been under a direct attack. And I think he's probably, a bit depressed right now, you know, trying to figure out how to handle this. But I think there's got to be some kind of repudiation of Trump in some form. Maybe a censure might be the answer.
You know, as we head into, on January 20th, what will be the Democrats controlling all three branches of government, the Senate, the Congress, and the presidency.
Then is the House, yeah.
Yeah, and the House. But, there is some problems there that are not being highlighted because of all this hubbub as President Trump leaves and Mitch McConnell loses his position, and the Senate races were a big story. And I think one of the stories is that, you know, the Democrats in the House aren't exactly getting along. I don't think there's a lot of harmony between AOC and Pelosi after that interview last night. I don't think that there's a lot of harmony right now between Pelosi and Biden. And Schumer, he'll come in. He seems to be more in line with Pelosi on things, but it's not an overwhelming majority in the Senate, 50-50 with a breaking vote by Kamala Harris, who I'm not sure is in line with Pelosi and Schumer on a lot of things. So there's a lot of trouble there getting legislation passed, in my opinion.
Well, also, Joe Manchin, who is the most conservative Democrat, wouldn't necessarily support the $2,000 stimulus for everyone. So, I mean, there's always those other ones like Hickenlooper in Colorado and Sinema in Arizona, who are more moderate, yes. So, I mean, there's going to be battles, but there'll be a few Republicans, I think, who will support, Biden on some things. I think Romney will, I think Collins will, and I think Lisa Murkowski will, and maybe Ben Sasse will. They're the more moderates of the Republicans' party. But look, this is what American politics and really any country, even in any democracy, British politics, there's always going to be battles and you have to make compromises. But I think Joe wants to avoid a direct conflict, so he's going to leave it to Congress because there really is a separate branch for Congress to decide what to do. He doesn't want maybe anything to be done much now, but he's not going to openly speak out against it because he wants to cooperate, and I think he's the right person for the time.
You know, the more... how should I say this? The more prominent story is going to be an impeachment, a 25th Amendment, what happened last week at the Capitol. They'll continue on with that. President Trump leaving office and not attending the inauguration. Those will be the stories. But the one that's going to impact most people's lives is this $2,000 stimulus package. Now, Joe Biden went down to Georgia and said, if you elect these two senators, we'll get you your $2,000 stimulus. Congress wants the $2,000 stimulus. Biden obviously would sign off on it, I would think, after saying that. With these two senators elected as of January 20th, is this going to get done?
I think within a month. It won't be on day one, but I think by the end of February it will be done, yes.
So you think at this point, with that campaign promise for those two senators, that they have to get that done?
It would be a big negative if they did not, but I think there's a need for it because we have a very high unemployment rate, we have more people losing jobs, we have the pandemic, it's a real mess. Joe Biden faces more challenges than anyone since Abraham Lincoln, really, and I wrote that the other day, because we're in a state where it could be close to civil war right now, and we have to avoid it.
These people who were at this march last week, which started as a march, and you know, 80 to 90% of the people did maintain it at a march. They were not the ones who went to the Capitol. But that whole group, if the 25th Amendment were invoked in the next 24 hours, if Congress votes to impeach the president, if there is a Senate trial, if the president by some circumstance would resign before the 20th when Joe Biden is being sworn in on the 20th. Is this group just going to go away with these few people being charged this week? I can't imagine that would happen.
Well, there's already evidence on the internet, the dark internet, they're planning to come back for a rally next Sunday, the 17th, and with weapons, they've said, so it might be more than they had, and then on the 20th. So I think, as I've advocated, one time we had the President of the United States sworn in inside the Capitol building, not outside. Ronald Reagan in 1985, because he was going on 74, the oldest president ever to be inaugurated until now, of course, and it was 7 above zero, 7 degrees Fahrenheit, and the thought is, oh my gosh, this is horrible weather. So they had it inside at the last minute. I think he needs to be sworn in, our president, inside the Capitol building. And they have already a fence up around Capitol, around the Capitol building. And they have to really monitor people coming into the district about having the kind of weapons they have and not allow people anywhere nearby who have serious weapons other than a handgun. Because really, I think the district has to be put under a lockdown where you can't just come in with weapons and start attacking. But I do think the president should be sworn in inside the Capitol building for safety. Otherwise, we could have a disaster, really.
President Trump was permanently banned on Twitter as of Friday night, so he will not be communicating that way. In the next 9 days, do you think we're going to hear any more from him, press conferences, videos, anything? Not Twitter.
Well, I understand he's going down to Texas-Mexico boundary to brag about his few miles of new wall, because there's only a small number of new miles. Most of the wall that is there has been rebuilt, but very little added to it. So I don't know what he'll say, but he's going to be down there today, and I'm sure he will speak up. You know, he still can speak from the White House. He's still the president, until he's not. So I think he will, and I have no idea what's going to happen, because I understand that he's furious about Twitter. And I think he's already mentally unstable, and I think every day it's more and more of a threat, of a danger of what's going to happen. I just pray everything stays stable. But the 17th and the 20th are days to be particularly alert about. And also, they understand that the U.S. Capitol, not only there, but every state capitol, they're going to have a crowd gather with weapons, including, I guess, near you in Columbus.
Well, isn't this, though, the point? People still like this man, and yes, Joe Biden is the person in presidential history who has now received more votes than anybody, but number two is Donald Trump in this last election. Don't people have to understand the Trump voter at some point?
I'd like to know. I'd like to understand them, but I only thing I can see is that they seem to be promoting hate and fear. I wish I understood them better. I think a lot of them need to be psychoanalyzed, I guess, for us to figure it out, but very hard to do with that number of people. But there's an awful lot of hate out there, and that's just unacceptable.
At what point do we end up coming together? And before we talk, well, let's save that question for a second, because most presidents do give a farewell address on television.
I was thinking about that. Is he going to give a farewell address?
I would think.
There's no hint of it yet, but he's got only 8 days to do it now.
Right. So I would imagine it will either come late this week or possibly Monday of next week. It's usually done in prime time, and they talk about their presidency. I don't know why he wouldn't.
Yeah, I wonder if he's even, I guess he's aware of it. I think we would expect if he's still there that he would, or even if he resigned, that he would, as he resigned, like although Nixon didn't give a real speech, but he did speak, at least when he resigned, yeah. It'd be interesting to see how he summarizes and what his mood will be. In theory, he should try to calm things down, but I don't think he knows how to.
What do you think will happen when Joe Biden is sworn in? As far as President Trump goes, he won't be at the swearing-in. We don't know where he'll be. But at that moment, he would be chargeable by the United States Attorney General, which will be Merrick Garland at that point. He would be chargeable for the first time in the Southern District for civil and criminal crimes that apparently they are working up there in the Southern District and have for 2 years.
New York,
And he would also be liable for the civil crimes, which he has not been able to for the last 4 years. So what happens on January 20th, the moment he's no longer president? Do they wait a week? Do they wait hours? What happens?
Well, I've gathered, at least for the New York part, that Letitia James, the state attorney general, is planning to bring charges on January 21st. That's what we hear.
That's quick.
That is quick, yes. As far as what he will do on that day, there's reports that he's going to have like his own rally and try to have a split screen situation. And I've advocated if he's going to have a rally in D.C. to try to draw attention away from the inauguration, the network should not cover it live. They may cover it, tape it, and show it later on in the evening, but they should not have a split screen. That is not appropriate when a president's being inaugurated to have a split screen showing both events at the same time. But yes, I guess they have to record it and show it later because it's free speech, but it should not be interfering with the inauguration itself. As far as federal, it's going to probably take a while because I don't know if Merrick Garland's going to be confirmed by that date, how many of these appointments will be confirmed to start on January 20th, January 21st. But I think New York, they're not going to wait.
You know, that being said, whether it is the impeachment or possibly a Senate trial, which could get underway on January 19th, whether it does or not, we won't know. The charges in New York, which could apparently, she's saying, possibly could happen on the 21st, this rally he might give that day. Is there any way on God's green earth that the story is going to be about Joe Biden's inauguration or what he does in the first 100 days?
I would hope so, because I think Joe Biden is especially experienced and equipped by his background to be a person who can really change the course of history. I honestly believe that. And I've always been a fan of his. I never thought he'd make it to the White House. I wish he was a little younger in theory, but he's perfectly fine. He's shown he's perfectly fine, except for a stutter. Okay, people have a stutter once in a while. He's had it when he was younger. It comes back when you're older. But I think he can bring the country together more than anybody else. I could not imagine Bernie Sanders, for instance, being able to have done that, or almost any of the other people running. So I think under the circumstances, he is the best person, and I'd like to believe that he will be the center of attention. But, of course, we'll have to share it with the Trump story, of course, but he's still going to make a difference to so many of us.
Couldn't this work, though, for Joe Biden? Because if the story is President Trump indicted in the Southern District of New York, which would be a big story because people would be able to read the indictment, because we really don't know what they would want to charge him with at this point. And also, if the trial did start in the Senate on the 19th, that's a big story because that's the second impeachment. That's never happened with a president. Don't you think, though, that Joe Biden would be under the radar? Whatever legislation he's trying to bring up or people he's trying to be confirmed, that's not going to be covered wall-to-wall on the news channels because of these other stories, and he might get some of this through because he doesn't have to worry about all this public backlash.
Interesting angle. You're very bright in saying that. That's possibly the case. The main thing in my mind is not whether he gets all the attention. He's not an egomaniac like Trump is. As long as he can get his appointments through and he can get work done on the stimulus and on dealing with getting the vaccine out at a much faster rate. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck with this situation for a year or more. And, you know, he's got to do better than what Trump's disastrous administration has done about the pandemic. And I do think that, you know, I don't think he cares as much about getting all the attention. I think he cares about results, and I think he has the potential that when we look back, we like 100 days later or 200 days later, we might say, boy, we were spending so much time on Trump, but look what Joe Biden got done.
Well, and he's got the chambers to do that now with the House and the Senate being Democratic.
Yes, and I'm so thrilled that those two Georgia Democrats won. I predicted it, although my own son in Bethesda said he doubted it, and the others said only one seat, but I was holding my breath to see whether Ossoff would actually end up winning, because that was a little longer waiting for, but I was very happy. And I want to just mention that my son discovered, or believes, he's not sure, that he and his brother, my other son, are related to Ossoff, because my wife's maiden name was Ossoff, O-S-R-O-F-F, Ossoff. He seems, from tracking it down, he believes, he's not sure, they might be connected. Isn't that interesting?
That is a little interesting. Well, Dr. Feinman, I do want to remind people, we've got about 2 minutes left here, but I know it blows right by, but I do want to remind people that you can be heard every Wednesday with Glenn Coble, 12:10 to 1 p.m. on this station on A Progressive Life. But before we run out of time here in this program, at the end, and we are at the end, 9 days left here of President Trump's presidency, which you have been no fan of, and coming on this station pretty much during the whole presidency, let's, again, not a fan of the man, but here, in the final analysis, say something good about the man's presidency. in the spirit of this country coming together, can we finally do this? What was good about the Trump presidency?
Well, I don't necessarily approve of them, but he got more judicial appointments than any other president in recent times. I don't necessarily like them, but he accomplished that. He also signed an environmental law, as my son points out, because he works for the Conservation Lands Foundation, that actually was a good environmental law that he went along with, and he signed it. It wasn't that he pushed it, but he signed it. So I would say those are a couple of things that I would say are in his favor. Plus, he did, of course, strengthen the relationship with Israel, which I suppose is also to be seen as a positive point.
Wouldn't we also say, though, that he created, whether people like it or not, and I would think Democrats probably don't, he created more enthusiasm and awareness about politics than any president in the history of the United States. I've never seen caravans for a national candidate in my own community. And I'm not talking about one caravan. I'm talking about multiples.
Yes, I suppose so. But in a way, because of the kind of message he promotes, it's scary that these caravans develop. You know, I think it's dangerous in a way. It's a negative point. It's finding people to be villains. I don't think that's a good thing. But yes, he does have an inspirational crowd. Even those in the military who love him, even though he avoided the military with bone spurs as his claim. So that's what's really ironic, I think, the hypocrisy of it all.
And there are still people, up until last week, who do feel that he did a pretty good job. I don't know where he'll rank on the list of presidents. A lot of people feel last. I don't know. Once a little bit of space gets in between it, I don't know if he'll be down there with Polk and people like, I don't know.
Archie Polk is not that low. You're thinking of Buchanan. And also
Buchanan.
Andrew Johnson.
And Hardy.
He was rated in 2018, after 1 year, by the American Political Science Association, the bottom, 44 out of 44 after 1 year. So I don't see him rising anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's interesting how scholars look at his presidency. I don't know. It'll be interesting to find out. But, Dr. Feinman, it's been great to have you back on the program, certainly with everything that's going on.
Thank you so much.
Yes, and Dr. Feinman, you'll be on this Wednesday with Glenn, that's right?
That's right. I'm looking forward to it. And I hope to be on your show in the future again.
Absolutely. And who knows where we'll be on Wednesday. We'll certainly know the answer to the 25th Amendment question. Well, just because you're going to be on Wednesday, Dr. Feinman, a quick prediction before we go. Will Pence invoke the 25th Amendment? We'll know by the time you're on Wednesday.
I would think unlikely. I would say no. I don't think so.
Will we have an impeachment by the time you're on Wednesday?
I think the impeachment resolution will be voted on Wednesday, maybe not done by 12 noon, but I think they'll be voting on it on Wednesday, yes.
And there we go. Thank you,
Thank
Dr.
You so
Feinman.
Much.
Stay well.
Yeah, you too.
Dr. Ron Feinman. All right, don't forget, Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp right after this show, 10:10 till 11 a.m. Voice of a People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5, and the Mike Wilson Show, 5:10 to 6. For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on Beach Radio 107.1 FM.